Mercy Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate. Kia ora and welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, social justice, the Catholic Church, or the Sisters of Mercy. Today, my visitors are Cecily Mantel and Manuela Adams. Cecily and Manuela, a very warm welcome and Haida Maito radio program.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Cecily is the CEO of Te Ukaipo, Mercy Initiatives for Rangatahi, and she has brought Manuela with her. Maybe, Cecily, you, both of you, you explain a little bit your roles at Te Ukaipo. Mm-hmm. You start with Cecily.
Oh, okay. So I'm the CEO of Te Ukaipo, Mercy Initiatives for Rangatahi, and Manuela is one of our managers for our youth programs. Yeah. So we work with our young people at risk. We've been in Rānui for about 7 years. Yeah. 7 years now.
So the two of you work together for 7 years?
We've worked together for the last 3 years. Together.
Yeah, wonderful. Because we did an interview 5 years ago.
That's right. Yes, we did have Manuela then.
And maybe you can just recall the explanation a little bit about the name Te Ukaipo. And remember that you said Te Ukaipo is a real home, but also kai means food.
Yes.
And po means night. So can you explain the meaning of your organization?
So Te Ukaipo is about the kai, and we're not talking about food, but the sustenance that people need to nurture and grow. So that's what we do. We provide that, and we have a home that we do that with. And we do that so that young people can come from out of the dark into the light. So the Te Ukaipo is, that's what it's based on.
Yeah.
And you hear often hear Te Ukaipo talked about when people talking about breastfeeding. So it's the milk, the sustenance one gives to your child when you're breastfeeding. So it fits in with that as well.
And the rest of the name Rangatahi, the full name is Te Ukaipo Mercy Initiatives for Rangatahi Limited.
Mm.
So what is the background of Rangatahi? What is Rangatahi?
Rangatahi is about our youth. Yeah. It's a collective of youth. So that's what our Rangatahi means. So Mercy Initiatives is all about things for young people, for them to nurture and be sustained and grow into young adults.
Yeah. And so you said the young people that's in your area in West Auckland, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do if somebody comes from North Auckland?
I'd probably refer them. There'll be providers over the North Shore.
Okay.
For them, yeah.
Just for those of you who've just tuned in, you are listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. If you miss any of our programs, please check out our website at www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or visit our website or Facebook page at Tengaka Waiora Mercy Spirituality Center. My visitor today is Cecily Mantel, and she has brought Manuela Adams with her. And the two of them work at Te Ukaipo Mercy Initiatives for Rangatahi, an organization that is part of the bigger Mercy family, as is also Tengaka Waiora Mercy Spirituality Center. Cecily, I said the Te Ukaipo's vision is Whakamana Mana Mai, empowerment of Rangatahi and Whānau. Could you tell us more about this approach?
We work with our young people, and we work in ways where we facilitate and support young people to find for themselves in their journey what they would really like to be doing. And in most cases, we are looking also to support them to overcome all the hurdles that they have to start with. And there are so many from the young people that we work with.
What kind of hurdles are there?
Manuela, do you want to talk about some of those?
Well, education is a big one, because most of the kids that we start working with are kids that have been excluded from school. Poverty is sort of, it goes hand in hand with that. So we've got literacy and numeracy issues, we've got poverty issues, there's sexual abuse issues. There's all the issues that come with poverty.
Why are they excluded of school?
Well,
isn't everybody supposed to go to school, every child?
Behavioural issues. I mean, everyone's got rules. We have rules in our program as well. You probably have to talk to the Ministry of Education as to why kids are getting excluded. So fortunately, we take them, and they're coming without diagnosis. So a lot of them have got FASD, ADHD.
What is FASD?
It's fetal alcohol syndrome. So these kids, they're not getting the right diagnoses, so they're coming to us. And in all fairness, alternative education, it's a little bit of a lot of people that work there are doing it with heart, so we need better resources.
So how are you accommodating these young people?
Oh, we create a beautiful environment. We sort of tailor make what they need to learn. We actually feed them and pick them up as well, first and foremost. And we've got good staff, we've got good people. But that's the first step. That gets our kids only so far. And then we've got our independence program, which is both holistic and practical. So we'll get their driver's licences and IRDs. If anyone's sat on the phone to IRD, you'll know that it takes a long time. So these families give up, but they sometimes don't have enough credit to stay on the line, and it's the only proof of address that the banks will accept to give them a bank account. So these things that we all take for granted, these are big barriers for our kids, and we can see the success already because we've also gotten 10 in the last 3 months work as well, because they had that little independence package.
How many children are currently involved in the program?
We've got 45 on our books, and people are knocking on the door, but we're trying to keep it kind of quality, not quantity. There's not a lot of funding that goes in, so it's timing, and you know, as staff, you've got to have a little bit of self-preservation as well.
What do you do if somebody knocks on the door and you have to say no?
We lock ourselves in our office. No.
Do you have any way to refer them to somebody else?
Yeah, we'll take down all their details, and if we can help them, we will. Mm-hmm. But we've still got with our group of kids, we've got to address those kids first. We're networking with all sorts of different agencies, like LifeWise. And
Cecily, you might remember that story about Catherine McCauley, where she had taken all these girls on board in Beckett Street, and then there was a limit and she had to say no. Mm. And when she said no to these two girls, it never left her. It was always in her memory.
Yeah.
Do you have that problem too in your case?
Yeah, we're starting to now.
Yeah,
we're starting to now. It's never a no, it's just a wait. Yes. We just got to wait. To be realistic, there's no point in taking on kids and making empty promises to families that you're not going to get to.
Mm. How long are the young people staying in your program? So you say 45 currently. How long have they been in the program, and how long will they stay?
We're hoping to do like a 2-year monitoring. It takes about 2 months to get their licensing, their bank account, their IRD numbers, and then onto a program called the Dine Academy, which creates part-time work for them. That may come to an end as well. That's just, we've got that right now. But I think 2 months to get them into either a wānanga and get this getting started package, and then probably keep an eye on them for 2 years. A lot of these kids I've known since they were 13. Hmm. Then they leave Old Head, and then there's that little, well, it's a big gap in between. So we've gone back and found all the kids that were just sitting in the gap.
Yeah. And they come by themselves, sorry?
Yes, no, I was going to say, it's what we found and how we succeed is having that mātua, you know, being like that parent in the background and supporting them. So when they are living their lives and doing things, they always know they have a backstop. And that monitoring, I think, is vital, because when I look at all the successes we've had, it's because we've monitored all the time and keep all the kids in the loop. And, you know, the results are in the pudding, I guess. I don't think I've got that right, but...
You haven't.
No. But when you see these young people, and they can see the light and can see that there is something there and they are worthwhile and they can do it. It's just amazing. But what I see with Manuela's program, she doesn't stop there. She just keeps that uffy going, you know. And
that support.
Oh, yeah. And because that's what they need. I mean, we see these advertisements about, you know, when your children get their license, you still got to watch them and things like that. When our children are just getting their essential living packs or whatever you want to call it, the basics, they still need that support, you know, to make change for themselves.
And do the young people come themselves or are they brought by somebody else?
Most of them are through each other. So yes, they're referring their friends and their brothers and their sisters. So, yeah, there's no shortage of work.
Well, but at least when they are recommended by somebody else whom they trust,
yes,
that's a good start, because it's different to taking children from the street and putting them in an organization. Yeah. Because what you do is you have open doors. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You've hit it on the head. We don't have, it is about that word of mouth. It's about all of that. And so young people come to us, and it's much better than a social worker saying, here's this young person, we want you to do this, because the door's already shut. So how we work with them is we're opening doors and more come through, want to come through.
They are quite fragile. As a group of rangatahi, these kids are quite fragile. They don't take anything for granted. So it's the space that we create for them is very safe, and that's why they recommend to their friends, because it's safe. They've got to start off with that. But they've got to live in society as well.
Yes.
They have to build some resilience, which takes a little bit of time. But, yeah, they're doing really well.
Manuela, can you tell us more about your specific program that you are leading?
Okay, so it's just a getting started package. It's an independence package, which means sitting on the phone with IRD trying to get a letter which validates their proof of address. They need a proof of address for a bank account. We work with an agency called Rural Education who funds their learner licensing, and they've kind of fine-tuned it to a three-day program, because you can't always get our kids to come in for 10 days. This has to be a kind of hard and fast approach. So Victoria from Rural Education comes in, she takes the kids, studies with them for 2 days, and then takes them down and they sit their license. One girl took 3 times to get her license, but she still got it. And then they start shining. And then we go and get them a bank account, and at the very end we'll get them into the part-time work with Eden Park, which we're grateful for, Dine Academy. So, and I don't want to grow too much more than that, because we can sort of, you can veer off into a lot of areas and not get these basics done, which they're going to use for the rest of their lives.
And they need it also to get a job, usually.
They need it for everything. They even need it to study.
Yeah.
You know, and then we will grow the program when we have a few more staff into appointment keeping. And
are you also in touch with the parents of these young people?
Sometimes. We have a beautiful Christmas prize giving where the Fiona from the campground sponsors us a big ham, and it's a beautiful day, and the parents, they come. And some parents are not. Some parents are in prison. Some parents are absent. You know, there's lots of variations.
Mm. Can you give us some examples, without naming anybody, but even if you combine two cases, but if you can give us some examples of young people who've gone through your program, because it's now almost 20 years since Te Okaipo started, right?
That's right, yes.
Sorry, can you? I'm not sure.
Just an example of some of the journeys our young people have made. Like, I can think of one at the top of my head, and that's a young couple that were actually living in a park, and they've come in, and you might want to add on to that. That's amazing what happened there.
Yeah, well, one of our girls, we kind of knew her through Old Ed, and then we sort of lost touch with her for about a year, and they knocked on the door, and they were sleeping in the park in Henderson at the top of the rocket. So she started coming in, and we got all her documents done. She's got a new license. We sort of connected her up with an agency called Lifewise, who house rangatahi. So she's doing really well. I mean, you got to do the basics first. I'm sure there's going to be wonderful stories, but these kids have to grow up like everybody else's kids to get to the lovely stuff.
Yeah.
They're connected through life, aren't they? Because if they get the basics from you and you are like the mothers to the children, then they will come every now and then and have a look.
They still ring for their IRD numbers, which is a good sign because they're obviously applying for a study or a job. Mm. So we keep all their files at work and we pretty much... I don't want to say parents, I've got enough children of my own, but we're there for all those things that they can't really go to their parents for.
That's
without any judgment or anything. It's just not everybody's dealt the same hand.
Mm, that's right. I mean, it's nothing to have a young person arrive at the doorstep and asking in need of something. And when they sit down, you know, when we sit down and have a chat with them and have a cup of tea and just relax, when you get the whole story of where they're in and what they need to do, you know, you can see the barriers that other kids wouldn't face that they have to overcome. So, you know, I mean, I've rolled into work and next minute I'm behind the computer writing a letter for the court and just about understanding this person doesn't have any transport to get there on that day but could do it on this day. And it's just a minor little thing but could cause so much. So it's just addressing them for them then and there and getting that resolved. And you don't have, you know, because you never know what's going to happen. That little incident could turn into a big incident that didn't need to happen.
And the young people who went through the program years ago, do they still come and say hello?
Oh, yeah. We see them. And they're really good. They look out for us. Yeah. Like some of the neighbourhood kids, and they'll come in and go, hi, miss, and, you know, and always seeing if there's something they can do for us, if that's able to happen. Yeah.
So you do have volunteers from them?
Yeah, we do. or they come back in and they've got community service, so they come in. But, you know, if they're doing community service for us, they put their heart in it.
Yeah.
That's the difference, yeah.
And you, Manuela, you are known by IRD. They know, oh, Manuela calls again for another child?
It depends who answers the phone at their end. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we're trying to build a better relationship because we're trying to get them to send the letters to us in care of our address because they are getting lost in the post and everyone's busy. So sometimes they will know me personally by the end of next week.
but when you are behind the children or the young people and they are looking for work, they can you can give them a reference, a character reference.
Oh, absolutely.
So that can also be another step to help.
Yeah, and there's some kids that we can give a reference and there's some kids that we can't. That's not rocket science. Not all kids are ready for work. And
so you really give them a chance and then they have to live up to the expectations, or otherwise you still have to be honest. If you're not honest, then the next person who really is working very hard won't have a chance because they say, oh, well, you've recommended that person to us, so we won't want to take that one.
Yeah, they realise, they understand that they are setting the tone and they are not the last group of kids that's going to come through this program and get work. So, they understand their role modelling as well.
Mm. What are some of the other programs? I remember that you mentioned in the last interview something about cleaning up parts of the, what was it, Waitakere?
The stream.
Yes. Do you still do that?
Yeah, no, we do our environment program. We have a new worker on board, so it's a new year, new door opening. So this year we will be working with four new schools in our area. And it's wonderful work with the kids because they're our future. So, and looking after our environment right now is so important. So we look after Summerland, there's a stream down there, Ehrlich Reserve, and the youth park at Taranga Herua. So we have different little volunteer groups that go in and muck in there and clean up. But we also provide little educational workshops in terms of water monitoring, what's the other one? Water monitoring, bird counting. We do bird counting. And you'd think, why would we do bird counting? But it's really important because it gives you an idea of how many pests are down there, because if the bird count drops, you know, the pests are winning. So everything's interconnected.
And the young people, do they take part in all of that? So do they get the support for the IRD documents, support to go to university or to go to school or to go to find a job and at the same time learn something about the environment? Mm. Is that usually the case that you learn a little bit of everything?
They can. Not everybody's into the environment.
That's right.
That's something that's developed. Some kids are, and if they are interested, then for sure.
Yep.
So, again, it's an option.
Yes, it is an option. And I think it's part of our programs with working with the young people that it is tailor-made to suit the needs of that person, because what we've found, there's no point dragging a person along to something and they're just not going to participate because that's not them. But then you take them off to something else, like we have a program with Corbin's and the art. Mm. The ones that love art just love it, and that's the bully energy is, whereas you'll have the something different in terms of the environment. Someone loves the hand-on stuff and doing that mahi.
So when a young person comes, you first have a conversation with the person,
mm-hmm.
and to find out what are the strengths, what are the weaknesses, and where are the real problems.
Yeah,
the barriers. We've got barriers and strategies for success.
Yeah.
Do you also have counselling in your...
I wish we did, because you can see for some of our young people that having somebody to talk to who is specialised at that would be such an asset, because we could touch those things now. But we don't have the luxury of a counsellor, so we collaborate with other agencies, and if we can try and connect them into that. But it is a hard basket one when it's not within our organisation, because our young people have grown to trust us, and then we're giving that person to somebody else and trusting that they're not going to let them down. Because I'd say, Manuela, these kids have all been let down one way or the other. So we really try our darndest to make sure that we don't do that to them.
People get let down. That's the way of the world. These kids are no different. It's just it's a different effect because they're expecting to be let down.
Mm.
But, you know, in saying that, we are looking for a really good counsellor. We would love someone that connects with these counsellors.
Yes.
And a sports program.
And a sports program.
Yeah.
Do you have the facilities for the sports?
Well, no, we've got wonderful resources out there. It's just the people power, having people that we can bring on and get them to be part of it.
Yeah.
Because young people need to be able to do things, activities, and try things out. So, you know, we just, at the moment, we're a group of women that are doing the best we can, but we do have our limitations.
Yeah, because we essentially started off as just a girls' program. It was the Manu Wahine, but, you know, from families, there are brothers and there are brothers' friends.
Mm.
So we kind of, it'd be really good to have a male role modelling element.
Yeah. Are you all women?
Yeah, apart from our environment person, we're all women.
Don't say it like that.
Mana wahine.
And your young people, are they of different ethnic groups?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that door is an open door. That will stay an open door.
And they get along with each other? There's no problem among themselves?
Nope.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's good.
Yeah. You can tell that there is the Te O Kai Pō is there.
They're a beautiful, beautiful young group of kids.
Mm. Do they do a lot in the groups? Because I think that's one, and then another task that is often neglected, that you might support one person, but supporting a group or supporting maybe two, three at the same time, that can lead also to more social skills or different social skills. Is there a need of that, or is it all fine?
No, they can still develop social skills, but they are very, very good in groups. The thing I notice when I take them out in groups is the way society views them, not the way that they are behaving. There is a way that they need to behave when they go out, and a language code, things like that, but those are things to be expected when they're young. As they get to the 18, our 18-year-olds and that those kids, they have good social skills, but that's because it was expected of them.
Yeah,
we do expect that from them.
Mm. And do you need some leaders of groups to be in there first, or is it anybody? So, like you say, the sister can drag the brother along. The person who recommend, are they? you know, if they are already in a group, is it like the leader of the group that says, let's go and they will really help us? Or somebody else who says, well, I've been to that, to these women and they have helped me. And then the others say, oh, that's great. We'll try to come to.
Yeah. And we try and keep our older kids to come in and support the new kids that are coming through, because they already know, they are expected to show the kids how it runs around here.
Yeah, and that's good, because with the older ones too, they support those younger ones coming through.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, we get an older one that we can see as a star. We really want to keep that person, but we won't hold on to them if they've got opportunities for themselves, like employment. But we do try and keep our older ones back. And social media is a good vehicle with our young people, because that's how people keep connected.
Yes.
And through that, we've had young people come in because they've got onto the social media and know people, and so will come in looking for some support.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you very much for your work, and wish you all the best, that you can reach many young people. The best thing would be that the young people don't need the support, but if they do, it's good that you are there and that you're supporting them. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And let's have a look at what's coming up in our Mercy Spirituality Center on Saturday, the 15th of February, from 9:30 to 3:30. Sarah Cooper will facilitate a retreat day with the title Reconfigured, Transformed by Reality. On Friday, the 21st of February, from 10:30 to 12:30, Sister Elizabeth Sneddon is going to present a muffin meeting on the mystics of Helfta, the two St. Mechtels and St. Gertrude. The 21st and 22nd of February, Margaret Bowater will facilitate an introduction to Dreamwork 101. Tuesday, the 25th of February, Sister Bridget Crisp will lead a one-day workshop with the title, Who is My Neighbor? So that's about Laudato Si and environment, and that's a whole day. On Friday, the 28th of February, Susan Healy will give an evening talk about the Treaty of Waitangi and what it means in 2020. And then something special, on Sunday, the 1st of March, we will start our new reflection group with the title Mercy Global Presence. This is a worldwide opportunity to reflect on mercy values and traditions, to engage in collaboration with others for a globalization of compassion and mercy in our world. We will gather on the first Sunday of every month in the Chapel of the Spirituality Center, 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 3:30. Everybody is welcome, and you don't have to register for this reflection group. You can just come and join. For all other events at our center, please register with us per phone at Auckland 09-638-6238 or through our website at www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. I wish you all a good Friday, and thank you, the two of you, for having come to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.